Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to the weekly yeshiva teaching. The weekly yeshiva teaching is free, and we would encourage you to make it available to all your friends and family. You can receive the teaching by going to the website of Hebraic Heritage Ministries located at www.hebroots.org and click on the link Eddie's Weekly Yeshiva Teaching. The teaching is in MP3 format, and as a result, you can subscribe to receive it through an RSS feed wherein it will be automatically downloaded to your iTunes, and from there you can transfer it to your iPad or your iPhone. You can listen to the teaching from the ministry's website, or you can download the teaching to your computer and listen at your own convenience. The purpose of the teaching is to help you to be rooted and grounded in understanding the fundamentals of the Hebraic roots of Christianity. When we're studying the Hebraic roots of Christianity, we must remember to keep everything centered on Yeshua the Messiah. That is because it is written in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 7, "Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me." That verse is quoted of Yeshua in Hebrews in chapter 10 and verse 7. Then Yeshua himself stated in Luke chapter 24 verse 44, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the Torah of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Therefore, Yeshua stated that the Hebrew scriptures are written of him, and that the Torah is written of him. What is fundamental in understanding how the Torah is written of Yeshua is that he gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. We can easily see this by looking at some New Testament scriptures, wherein by looking at Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, cross-referencing it with Luke chapter 2 verse 11, and James chapter 4 and verse 12, we can see that Yeshua is not only our Savior, but the one who is our Savior is the same one who gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. In Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, it is written, "And she," meaning Mary, "shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name," in Hebrew, Yeshua, which means salvation. Why? Because the verse goes on to say, "For he shall save his people from their sins." Then, in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it is written, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And so understanding that Yeshua saves his people from their sins and that Yeshua is our Savior, we now look at the first part of James chapter 4 and verse 12, which says, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save." The one that saves is also the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai. So Yeshua is not only our Savior, he's the one that redeemed the children of Israel out of Egypt. He gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, but he's also the one that brought the children of Israel into the Promised Land and then brings them into their rest. So Yeshua is our Sabbath rest. In this session, we are going to cover the subject, the themes of the Sabbath. And some of the major themes of the Sabbath include the following. Number one, the Sabbath is a festival of the God of Israel. Number two, the Sabbath teaches us about resting in Yeshua. Number three, Yahweh promises abundant blessings for celebrating the Sabbath. Number four, non-Jews may celebrate the Sabbath. Number five, The Sabbath is a day of rest and no work should be done. Number 6. You are permitted to do good on the Sabbath. Number 7. The Sabbath is the seventh day of creation. Number 8. A term for the Sabbath is the day of the Lord. Number 9. The Sabbath foreshadows the Messianic era. Number 10. The day of the Lord, which is a term for the Sabbath, begins the Messianic era. Number 11. There are idioms that speak to the day of the Lord, and they include the phrases in that day and at that time. Number 12. The Sabbath is a remembrance of creation. Number 13. The Sabbath is a remembrance of the Egyptian redemption. Number 14. The Sabbath is a remembrance of restoration. Number 15. The Sabbath is linked with the biblical principles of sanctification and holiness. Number 16. The Sabbath is linked with marriage. Number 17. The Sabbath is the wedding ring of the covenant that was made between the nation of Israel, or the house of Jacob, and the one that gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, who is Yeshua. Number 18. Keeping the Sabbath prepares the bride of Messiah for her wedding. Number 19. The Sabbath foreshadows the promised land. Number 20. The Sabbath is linked to believing the words of Yeshua and his promises that he makes to us. Number 21. The Sabbath will be kept during the Messianic era for all eternity. Now let's look at these things in their respective details. To begin with, the Sabbath is a festival of Yahweh. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 2, it is written, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts." So, in speaking of the feasts of the Lord, in Leviticus chapter 23, the very first festival that is mentioned is the weekly Sabbath. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Since the Sabbath is a festival of the Lord, what is the meaning of this? Well, the word feast or festival in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 2, is the Hebrew word moed, and it is the Strong's number 4150 in the Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, and it means an appointed time or season or a meeting. Since the Sabbath is a festival of Yahweh, who is Yahweh? Well, traditionally, most often when Christians read the word Yahweh or Lord in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures, known by the acronym of Tanakh, most Christians read in their minds God the Father. However, the festivals in Leviticus chapter 23 are fulfilled by Yeshua the Messiah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, we can see that Yeshua is Yahweh, as it is written, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaks by the Spirit of God calls Yeshua cursed. And no man can say that Yeshua is Lord or Yeshua is Yahweh but by the Holy Spirit or the Ruach HaKodesh." We can see how Yeshua is Lord or Yeshua is Yahweh, and every knee will bow, every tongue will confess regarding this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. "Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yeshua HaMashiach is Lord, or Yahweh, to the glory of God the Father. To further see how Yeshua is Yahweh, we're going to cross-reference the events in Acts chapter 1 with Zechariah in chapter 14 in verses 3 and 4. The setting in Acts chapter 1 is in verse 6. Yeshua is asked, are you going to restore at this time the kingdom to Israel? He answers the question in Acts chapter 1 verses 7 and 8. And following answering the question, he ascends from there to be with his Father. And in ascending up to heaven to be with his Father, where he then sits on his throne in the heavenlies, two angels said these words in Acts chapter 1 verse 11. You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Yeshua, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Well, when Yeshua ascended to be with his Father following his resurrection at his first coming, he did so from the Mount of Olives. And understanding this fact, we can now cross-reference this event with Zechariah chapter 14, verses 3 and 4. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 3, it is written, then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against the nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. Whose feet? The feet of Yahweh, who is fighting against the nations for coming against Jerusalem. So, once again, we can see how Yeshua is Yahweh, and in Leviticus chapter 23, we can see that it's describing feasts of Yahweh. They are his feasts, and it begins by describing the weekly Sabbath. The Sabbath, in its themes, teaches us about Yeshua the Messiah. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, it is written, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath. Let no man judge you regarding the Sabbath, or let no man judge you in how you observe the Sabbath, because you are to do it by the Spirit of God, who we're told in John chapter 16, verse 13, will lead and guide you in all truth. And regarding the Sabbath, Colossians chapter 2, verse 17, it is a shadow, or the weekly Sabbath is a foreshadow of something to come. And that which is to come is first the Messianic era, and then ultimately the new heavens and the new earth, wherein the bride of Messiah will be dwelling in Sabbath rest with Yeshua in the new Jerusalem. That's why the weekly Sabbath is a foreshadowing of things to come in the body, or the substance, or the heart, or the meaning of it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 17, is all about the Messiah. There are blessings for keeping the Sabbath. Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 and 2, it is written, thus says Yahweh, keep my judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that does this, and the son of man that lays hold on it, that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Continuing on, Isaiah chapter 56, verses 3 through 5. Neither let the son of the stranger that has joined himself to the Lord, that's the non-Jew, say, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. neither let the eunuch say, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me. Notice, keeping a Sabbath is something that pleases the Lord and takes hold of my covenant. So the Sabbath is his covenant with his people. Isaiah 56:5, even unto them will I give in my house, or in his kingdom, and within my walls, a place and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Continuing, Isaiah chapter 56, verses 6 through 8. Also, the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain, and his holy mountain is Mount Zion, and I will make them joyful in my house of prayer, that is, his temple. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house, referring to the temple, shall be called a house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. No work is to be done on the Sabbath. Exodus chapter 20, verse 10. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. And Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. It is permitted to do good on the Sabbath. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, it is written, and he, Yeshua, entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, and that they might accuse him. And he says unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful, or is it according to the Torah, to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. The Sabbath is the seventh day of creation. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. The Sabbath is the seventh day, as we can see in Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 and 10. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. The seventh day Sabbath is called the day of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable. So the Sabbath is my holy day. The Sabbath is the holy of the Lord, or the Sabbath is the day of the Lord. In looking at creation, the 7 days of creation is a prophetic picture of 7,000 years of time, which each day in creation representing 1,000 years, and then the seventh day Sabbath is going to represent the 1,000-year messianic era. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 4, it is written, "For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." Then, this verse is referred to in 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 8. "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." The principle that each day in creation represents 1,000 years of time is presented in Moses Nachmanides, who is known by the acronym the Ramban, in his commentary on the Torah to the book of Genesis. He explains that the first 6 days of creation represents 6,000 years of time. As the rabbis have said, a day of the Holy One, blessed be He, is 1,000 years, quoting from Psalm chapter 90, verse 4. The rabbis explained that the first 2,000 years is a time of desolation, and the beginning of the next 2,000 years, the God of Israel made covenant with Abraham. And then the last 2,000 years is called the days of the Messiah. Now, the seventh day of creation, the Sabbath rest, it foreshadows the 1,000-year messianic era. The Sabbath is called the day of the Lord. Therefore, a eschatological term for the messianic era is the day of the Lord. And looking at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, which quotes from Psalm chapter 90, verse 4, it is written, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So in saying, don't be ignorant that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, it goes on to say in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." So we're going to establish that the messianic era begins in the evening. It begins with a time of darkness. It begins with the tribulation period. We can see this by understanding that each day in creation had an evening and a morning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 5. "And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And evening and morning were the first day." Genesis chapter 1, verse 8. "And evening and morning were the second day." Genesis chapter 1, verse 13. "And evening and morning were the third day." Genesis chapter 1, verse 19. "And evening and morning was the fourth day." Genesis 1, 23. "And evening and morning was the fifth day." Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. "And evening and morning was the sixth day." Now, there are going to be titles or idioms or expressions in the Bible for the day of the Lord or messianic times. And among them are the following. It is called the day of His wrath. It's called the day of darkness and gloominess. It's called a day of destruction or desolation. It's called a day of clouds and thick darkness. It's called a day of trumpet and alarm. It's called a day of trouble. It's called Jacob's trouble. It's called the day of the Lord's vengeance. So let's see how the seventh day Sabbath of creation foreshadows the messianic era, and how the beginning of the messianic era, called the day of the Lord, is the tribulation period. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6 and verse 8. "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and it will come as destruction from the Almighty." And this time is described in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 8, as a time of pain and sorrow, a reference to the tribulation period. "And they shall be afraid. Pains and sorrows shall take hold on them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travails." Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, will cry there bitterly." That day, meaning the day of the Lord, is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. The day of the Lord, or the tribulation period, is associated with Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 6, it is written, "Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great." What day? The day of the Lord, "so that none is like it." It, that day, the day of the Lord, it is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he will be delivered or saved or redeemed out of it. In the day of the Lord, all nations will be gathered against Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and your spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city will be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go into captivity." Verse 3. "Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle." The controversy of Zion is associated with the tribulation or the day of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 2 and verse 8. "For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses or payback for the controversy of Zion." A couple idioms or expressions for the seventh day Sabbath or messianic times, referred to as the day of the Lord, is "in that day" or "at that time." We can see this phrase in Isaiah in chapter 2. "It will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people will go and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." A major theme of the book of Isaiah is the day of the Lord. While the book of Isaiah will describe historical events that have already happened, it explains these events in the context of the setting of the day of the Lord. And so those things that happened historically are prophetic of what will happen in the day of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 17. "And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of man shall be made low. And the Lord alone will be exalted in that day," referring to the messianic era. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2. "And in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious." Isaiah chapter 27, verse 13. "It will come to pass in that day that the great shofar will be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem." This describes the gathering, uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel, or the end of the exile. It will take place in the day of the Lord. So, another idiomatic expression for the day of the Lord is "at that time." Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17. "At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall be gathered unto it." Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people. And there will be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time." Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 20. "And at that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, says the Lord." Another expression for the day of the Lord is "in those days" or "at that time" or "in those days and at that time." Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 15. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up into David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 4. In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping. This verse describes the end of the exile of the 12 tribes of Israel and them returning to the land. Joel chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. Behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, and I will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they've scattered among the nations and parted or divided my land. The Sabbath is to be celebrated as a remembrance of creation. Exodus chapter 20, verse 9 and verse 11. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that are in them, and he rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So in speaking about the commandment to keep the Sabbath, it says, because this is what happened in creation. The Sabbath is also to be a remembrance of the historical Egyptian redemption. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 15. And remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. The Sabbath is also a remembrance of the restoration of the people of the God of Israel when he ends their exile. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Verse 10. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest and quiet, and none will make him afraid. So, Yeshua is going to gather the exiles of Israel during the day of the Lord, and the celebration of that will be him setting his feet down on the Mount of Olives and ruling and reigning in his kingdom, and there will not be any enemies of Israel who will suppress them. The Sabbath is sanctified or is holy. Genesis chapter 2 verses 2 and 3. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all the work which God created and made. The word sanctified is the Hebrew word kadash. It is the Strong's number 6942 in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary. And it means to consecrate, to sanctify, to be made holy, to separate. The Sabbath is thematically linked with marriage. The word sanctified in the verse is kadash, the Strong's number 6942, and it is related to the Hebrew word kodesh, which means holy, and the root letters of kadash or kodesh is kaf, dalet, and shin. These are also the root letters for the Hebrew word for marriage, which is kedushin, which means betrothal. And there are two main stages of a biblical marriage. The first is kedushin, or betrothal. And during kedushin, you are legally married, but you do not physically dwell with. And the second stage of the marriage is when you physically dwell with your mate. And that is called in Hebrew, nesuin. The physical dwelling with Yeshua, who not only gave the Torah at Mount Sinai, but he is our bridegroom, will be initially when he rules and reigns in his kingdom during the Messianic era, but ultimately forever in the new heavens and the new earth, and specifically the new Jerusalem where he will dwell with his bride. The Sabbath is likened to a bride or a queen. And in the Talmud in Shabbat 119a, it says, Rabbi Hanina rode himself and stood at sunset, a Sabbath eve, and said, Come and let us go forth to welcome the Queen Sabbath. Rabbi Janai donned his robes on Sabbath eve and said, Come, O bride, come, O bride. Now, at Mount Sinai, there was a wedding that took place, wherein the bridegroom is the one that brought his people out of Egypt and gave them the Torah. That would be Yeshua. The bride is the people that he brought out of Egypt on behalf of the covenant that was made with Abraham. That would be the house of Jacob or the nation of Israel. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2, it is written, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of your youth, the love of your espousal or betrothal, when you went after me in the wilderness, referring to Mount Sinai, in a land that was not sown. And so the word espousal is the Hebrew word kalula. Mount Sinai was a betrothal. And if there's a marriage, there needed to be a wedding proposal. The proposal that Yeshua made to his bride is recorded in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, as it is written. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, obeying his voice and keeping his covenant, is following his Torah, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And so his people that he brought out of Egypt, that's the house of Jacob, Exodus chapter 19, verse 3, they said, I do to this proposal. Exodus chapter 19, verse 8. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, in a biblical marriage, we have a marriage contract, and it sets forth the terms and the conditions of the marriage. It is known in Hebrew as a ketubah. And the Torah is seen as the ketubah or the document that describes the terms and the conditions of the marriage between Yeshua, the bridegroom, and his people. And in exchanging the vows, the thing that is most commonly exchanged today in making the vows is a wedding ring. And the Sabbath is personified as the wedding ring of the marriage between Yeshua and his people at Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 and 13. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath, which you shall keep, it is a sign, or you may see it this way, it is a wedding ring. It is the sign of the marriage. It is the token between me in you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. And now Moses is one of the two witnesses of the marriage. Every biblical marriage will have two witnesses. They're known as the friends of the bridegroom. So Moses is going to escort the bride to the base of Mount Sinai, which is likened to a huppah or a wedding canopy. Exodus chapter 19, verse 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. The word nether is the Hebrew word takti. It is the Strong's number 8482 in the Strong's Hebrew dictionary, and it means the base or the lower part. And so the imagery here is that Mount Sinai is likened to a huppah or a wedding canopy, and the people are standing underneath the huppah. They're standing at the base of the mountain, and it's there where the vows are exchanged. Now, the God of Israel requires sanctification before marriage. And so he gives this instruction in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 10. 10. The Lord said to Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. The spiritual meaning, our clothes, is the way in which we live our lives. We're to live a holy or a sanctified life before the God of Israel. Yeshua prayed in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. So we're sanctified or made holy by following the truth. Truth is the word of God, which is synonymous with the Torah of God. Psalm 119, verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your Torah is the truth. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 6. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. The Torah of truth was in his mouth. Yeshua redeemed his people from Egypt in desire that they would keep his Sabbath. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 3 through 5. Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel and say, thus says the Lord God, are you come to inquire of me? As I live, says the Lord God, I will not be inquired by you. Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers, and say unto them, thus says the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel, and lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 11 through 13. I gave them statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall even live in them. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify them. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall even live in them. In my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Polluting the Sabbath results in not being able to go into the promised land. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 14 through 16. But I was wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen, in whose sight I brought them out. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Because they despised my judgments, and walked not in my statutes, but polluted my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 18 through 20. The children of Israel were commanded to keep the Sabbath. But I said unto their children in the wilderness, walk you not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 21, 23, and 24. Notwithstanding, the children of Israel rebelled against me. They walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which, if a man does, he shall live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness. I lifted up my hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and polluted my Sabbaths. In the end of days, the Messiah will gather the exiles of Israel from the nations for the purpose that they would keep his Sabbaths. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 18. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Yahweh blesses his people for keeping the Sabbath. Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 and 2. Thus says the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, in my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that does this, and the son of man that lays hold on it, that keeps my Sabbath from polluting it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. When the exiles of Israel are redeemed from the nations, the God of Israel will sprinkle clean water upon them and remove their uncleanness. Ezekiel in chapter 36, verses 24, 25, and 27. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you will be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. When Yeshua brought his people to Mount Sinai, where there was an exchange of marriage vows, and the Torah is the ketubah, or set forth the terms and the conditions of the marriage, Yeshua required his people to be sanctified. Exodus chapter 19, verse 10. The Lord said to Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. So when Yeshua returns at his second coming, wherein he is coming for a bride, whom he will rule and reign with in his kingdom, she is to be sanctified and make herself ready for his return. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. In order for the bride of Messiah to be prepared for his return at his second coming, she needs to repent from not following the Torah. And in order to help her to do this, this is the task of the ministry of Elijah. It is a ministry of restoration. Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, it is written, remember ye the Torah of Moses, my servant. So the subject is remember the Torah of Moses, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Elijah the prophet is being sent, the verse goes on to say, before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord, speaking of the end of days. And the message of Elijah is remember the Torah of Moses. We can see that the bride of Messiah will be sanctified and cleansed through following his Torah in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 26 and 27, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. So she's been sanctified, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Part of the righteousness of saints, or believers in Yeshua, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25, it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. So we are in right standing with the God of Israel by loving Yeshua, keeping his commandments, living holy lives. This is how the bride is made clean and white. When the children of Israel were brought into the promised land spiritually represents our rest in Yeshua. And there was a commandment given that spies were to go out and to come back with a report for the people of Israel regarding the promised land. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 25, verse 30 and 31, it is written, and they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." In other words, they looked at things through their natural circumstances, their natural eyes. Joshua and Caleb said, "We are able," based upon the promise of God, knowing that the God of Israel would be with them to fulfill his promised word. But the children of Israel believed the report of the 10 spies, who gave an evil report. Numbers chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore has the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Would it not be better for us that we return to Egypt?' And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain, and let us return unto Egypt.'" So rather than going into the promised land, Yeshua's rest for his people, they wanted to go back to Egypt, which is the world, the ways of the world, which is associated with bondage and sin. As a result, those that believed the evil report did not enter the promised land. Numbers chapter 14, verse 11, verses 22 and 23, it is written, "The Lord said to Moses, 'How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be that they will not believe me for all the signs which I've shown unto them? Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it." Regarding these events, we're told in Psalm chapter 95, verse 10 and verse 11, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, "They do err in their heart because they've not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they would not enter into my rest." They will not enter into my Sabbath. Yeshua is our Sabbath rest. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Yeshua stated in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest." You will find Sabbath for your souls. Yeshua, at his first coming, showed us how to follow the Torah and to do the will of our Heavenly Father. And so after he did the will of his Father, he had Sabbath. He rested. He sat down. John chapter 17, verse 1 and verse 4. "These words spake Yeshua and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, 'Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. I have glorified you on the earth. I finished the work which you gave me to do.'" We can see that after Yeshua finished doing the will of his Father at his first coming, he sat down. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. "God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by his prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And when he had himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Sabbath rest is believing and obeying the word of Yeshua, or the promises that he makes to us in his word. Leviticus chapter 26, verses 2 and 3 and verse 6. "You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will give shalom, peace, in the land, and you will lie down, and none will make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through the land." In Hebrews chapter 4, we can see how Yeshua is our Sabbath rest, in believing in his covenant promises to us that he makes in the Bible, is resting in him. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remains a rest, a Sabbath, to the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, his Sabbath, he ceases from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. And resting in Yeshua is believing his promises to us and not trying to accomplish things in our own efforts, in our own humanity, through our own wisdom. Resting in Yeshua is believing his covenant promises to us, which is his word, which is his Torah. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, and verse 14. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. For we are partakers of Messiah, or have rest in him, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence that we showed in him, steadfast to the end, till we see the fulfillment of his promise. For we which have believed, believe his promise, enter into his rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3. The Sabbath will be kept during the Messianic era. Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 1 and verse 3. Thus says the Lord God, the gate of the inner court, that's the inner court of the temple, that looks toward the east, shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it will be opened, and in the day of the new moon it shall be opened. Likewise, the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before the Lord in the Sabbaths and in the new moons. The Sabbath will be kept during the new heavens and the new earth. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your seed in your name remain. And it will come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, says the Lord. So this is going to conclude our teaching on the themes of the Sabbath. Now, Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. And if these teachings are a blessing to you, if the ministry is a blessing to you, we would encourage you to be a partner with Hebraic Heritage Ministries. The address of the ministry is Hebraic Heritage Ministries, Post Office Box 81, Strasburg, Ohio. Strasburg is spelled S-T-R-A-S-B-U-R-G. The zip code is 44680. Hebraic Heritage Ministries has an extensive website to help you to study the Hebraic roots of Christianity. And at the website, you will see different subjects categorized, and there is a separate tab for each subject of study. By clicking on that tab, you will then be able to read written articles or listen to audio or video teachings. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also has a web store, and we offer many materials that will help you to study the Hebraic roots of Christianity. Whether you are looking for books, CDs, DVDs, or other things, we would encourage you to go to the ministry web store. Just go to hebroots.org and click on web store. Now remember always these words from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He who says he abides in him, he who says that he's a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah, ought himself to walk, that means to live our lives, even as he walked. And how did Yeshua walk? How did he live his life? He followed the Torah of his father. Even so, he commanded those who believe on him in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments or follow my Torah. Until we share with you the next yeshiva teaching, shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.